The European Patent Office podcasts bring you an insight into the technology and innovation shaping the world.
Hello, and welcome to this podcast from the European Patent Office, in which we will be discussing our latest patent index for 2021. This presents the statistics for patent applications to the EPO in the last year. Which technologies are booming or declining? Which applicants are more or less active? If you're like me and are interested in trends, rankings, and league tables, it's a fascinating resource. My name is Jeremy Philpott, and I work in communication at the European Patent Office. Joining me today are two fellow number crunchers. First, we have EPO Chief Business Analyst, Aidan Kendrick. Aidan and his team compile and interpret a wide variety of data impacting all aspects of our business, and this includes looking at trends in patent applications to the EPO. Welcome, Aidan.
Hello, Jeremy, and thanks for inviting me.
And also joining us is EPO Chief Economist, Jan Meunier. Jan and his team research and publish economic studies on particular trade sectors, using patent data to uncover trends. Just last year, they put out studies on low-carbon energy technologies and on the future of plastics. Welcome, Jan.
Hello, Jeremy. Hello, Aidan. I'm pleased to be here.
So let's get started. Good figures for 2021, up 4.5% to 188,600, a new record. So it looks like we have a vibrant innovation community out there filing at the EPO once again. But Aidan, you've been digging into more detail. What have you found?
You're right, Jeremy. It's an impressive figure. And beneath that, there are some interesting things I think we can dive into a little bit in more detail now to see what has been driving that overall number. One of the things that stands out is the return of applicants from the US. And here we've noticed something that we've seen before in other crises, if you can call it that. We've had the pandemic, of course, over the past 2 years. And there we saw initially a drop coming from US applicants. But as the crisis has resolved, if one dares to use the expression, they seem to be coming back with a vengeance, with a lot more confidence. And this mirrors something that we saw also at the time of the financial crisis more than 10 years ago now. Quick to drop, but quick to rebound.
Does growth from US, is that the sole driver for applications overall at EPO being up 4.5%? Because their share of the pie is still stable at 25%. I mean, US applications have been 25% of all EPO import for years now. So is there anything else driving it?
Exactly. That's what we see. Another feature which has been noticeable for a number of years, but continues on its, one has to say, dynamic trend, is the growth coming from the Far East, in particular China and Korea as well. And here we see, over the past decade, an increase in applications from Korea of something like 2/3, and even quadrupling, I think, if you look at China. Japan is following a different trajectory, one can say, which is almost characterized by a slow decline over the years, but still an important component of the applications coming to us.
Yeah, Japan is still the largest applicant to the EPO out of Japan, Korea, China. There's no dynamism in their figures over the last decade, bimbling around the sort of 21,000 mark for us for quite a few years. But the growth from China is absolutely staggering, this sort of quadrupling in the last decade. I was, being the number cruncher that I am, as plugging them all into a calculator, I spotted that for the first time ever, the share coming from Japan, China, and Korea taken together has surpassed that from the US. So taken together, they are now about 1,000 applications to the EPO ahead, again, at around the 25% mark. So you're right, Asia booming and seems to mostly be driven by China. What can we say more about European applicants?
Well, if you look at Europe, an interesting picture emerges. We see last year, we noted decline in a number of our bigger source countries. Germany, of course, is something of a bellwether for Europe. This year, we saw a marginal return to growth for Germany. So that seems to be a sign of recovery. But of course, beneath that, one can ask whether the development was entirely driven by the impacts of the pandemic, or whether it wasn't also reflecting some kind of shift in technologies which are underlying the traditional source of applications coming from countries like Germany.
No, Jan, yeah, go on, jump in.
Yes, I think the figures from this year help us understand those from last year. As Aidan mentioned, actually we see the same similar pattern of rebound as the one mentioned by Aidan for the US, but generally in lesser proportions. And this is also a kind of usual pattern. So last year, in a number of European countries, we had a drop of applications with the EPO. And in those same countries, we see now an increase, so a return to normal, a rebound. And those countries in Europe that have a slight drop this year, like France, for instance, were not impacted by the crisis last year. So there is a pattern of turbulence due to the crisis, but a return to normal either last year or this year. And the proportions are usually lower than in the US. So the drop was less significant last year in general. And the rebound is also less impressive this year than what we see in the US in general, with a few exceptions.
Yeah, I did a little bit of benchmarking of percent change 2021 against 2019 to sort of even out the pandemic effect, to try and see which countries have actually managed to, even those that are bouncing back in 2021, have they bounced back enough yet to the figures that they were enjoying prior to the pandemic? And it's interesting that some countries have not yet recovered in terms of filings to the EPO where they were last year. But also, I mean, really encouraging to see some of the numbers from Nordic countries, Denmark up big, Sweden up big, Finland up big 2 years in a row. It's quite a heterogeneous story around Europe still at the moment.
Yes, I think we have a mix of structural trends and conjunctural trends. So the impact of the pandemic is temporary, it's conjunctural, and we had seen the drop followed by the rebound. But this is on top of deeper trends that have been ongoing for years, and that we see in Sweden or Finland, for instance, but also, of course, in Asia, as you already mentioned. And here it's deep technology trends, plus also geopolitical trends, I would say, the rise of Asia and the rise of some technology fields like digital technologies that are driving the boom of innovation in Asia, but also in Finland or Sweden, to cite these two countries.
Yeah, in terms of the technologies, I'm certainly getting the feeling that, you know, when you start looking more at like the 10-year trend lines that we've published in the Patent Index, they're looking at the longer term. You can see that there was already big growth in ICT even before the pandemic. And also healthcare is the other one that was growing quite confidently, 2017, 18, 19. Pandemic has not really arrested development there. Rather, it sort of catalyzed developments there. But again, just got need to qualify, only insofar as we see that manifested in patent filings. Of course, we're taking patent filings as a crude metric for what we assume are R&D investments and therefore the strength of innovation in those sectors.
I think you're right to say that the crisis has been catalyzing older trends, deeper trends. That includes the rise of ICT, but also the transformation of the automotive industry, for instance. So if we consider ICT, we have a strong growth, as in past years, of computer technology, plus 9%, which reflects typically development in artificial intelligence, for instance, but also in digital communication. That as well is not new, plus 9.4% over 2020. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And on top of that, we have a fast acceleration, a strong acceleration of innovation, of patenting in audiovisual technology or semiconductors. And I think this can be related to the crisis, this role of accelerator of the crisis. Audiovisual technology, we are using it a lot now due to the crisis. Semiconductors, the importance of semiconductors has been revealed by the crisis as well. And this is very much related to the patterns of growth that we observe at the country level. So the countries that are leading in these fields are China, especially in computer technology, mm-hmm. Korea, but also Finland and Sweden. And to cite just one example, in computer technology, so typically artificial intelligence technologies, patenting related to image data processing and generation increased by 15% last year. And in China, or from China, the increase was plus 99%. So actually, China doubled the level of patenting in that field.
Yeah. Well, this is a bit more of the detail as to how it is that applications to the EPO from China have quadrupled in the last decade. But across all technology fields for China, jumped by 24% last year, quite staggering. One of the other technology sectors that got my attention was transport. Transport is a bit of a mixed bag because it includes automotive, but it also includes rail and marine and aviation. And in 2020, the aviation sector absolutely tanked. And we saw that in the patent filings coming from some of the big aviation companies. And yet they've bounced back. But I'm not entirely sure why aviation should be picking up such a lot in 2021 in terms of patent filings.
Yeah, so it's transportation in general is a very interesting sector to look at, very complicated also to interpret. And aviation stands out there as the kind of extreme example. So indeed, we had a drop of patenting last year. We know the challenge that the crisis has been for the aviation industry. And now we have this strong rebound, but it's not the same kind of technology. Or it seems that the focus of the R&D effort has been shifting to a new generation of technologies, namely greener aviation.
Well, what would green aviation be?
Well, typically the design of aircrafts or the use of fuels that reduce the carbon footprint of aviation. And so we have heard in the past weeks or months the bold plans of companies like Airbus to develop planes that can be fueled by hydrogen, for instance. And we see that in the patent data as well. So there's a lot of effort being done to develop this brand new technology that will take years for sure. Decades possibly to get to the market. But we also have older efforts that are further increased, further developed. And this is typically the case of biofuels, so fuels that are derived from from biomass, not from fossil fuels. And there, one of the leading companies is Raytheon in the US. And we see that Raytheon has been one of the leading applicants last year in aviation. There is indeed a strong dynamics. This dynamic is new in terms of the type of technologies that is being explored, and it's very much geared towards greener aviation.
Right. So the traditional technology areas of building wings and building fuselages and avionics and control systems, that's no longer the driver here. It's the green fuels, the stuff that doesn't use fossil sources, and hydrogen as well, of course. I know there's a big drive to get hydrogen as a fuel source. That would explain it.
I would say that hydrogen or green fuels do not replace the other types of technologies like avionics, for instance. They rather replace combustion engines, the typical engines currently used for aircrafts. So they come on top of it, hence this big increase of innovation in aviation. And this is a phenomenon that we have seen in the past years already in the automotive industry. So the curve is flat in automotive, relatively flat, but this hides important transformations, a double transformation, I would say. The first one towards digital cars, digital vehicles, smart connected vehicles. And the second one towards electric vehicles. So if we look at the technologies that are typically clustered under automotive, we see a strong increase of patenting related to drive control, so digital technologies, and as well a strong increase in technologies related to electric propulsion. So this is where the efforts are being directed now. And I would say that this is more advanced than in aviation. We already see the electric cars or some connected cars in the streets. And this has ramifications beyond the automotive industry. In fact, a lot of the technology boom that we see in digital technologies, but also in batteries, for instance, are not directly classified under the automotive industry, but they benefit the automotive industry. And likewise, the innovation there is fueled by the transition of the automotive industries towards more connectivity and more electrification.
I was looking at the tally of applications across the top 10 technology fields, and there are about 55% of all filings to the EPO are in the top 10 technology fields out of 35 fields in total. But I was interested to know what the distribution between the different areas of the world is in terms of the filings in the top 10 technology fields.
Jeremy, I think we spoke earlier about the dynamic growth from China in particular, also from Korea. And I think if you look at that, we see that it's very, very strongly concentrated in what you might call broadly digital technologies, telecoms, that kind of thing. If you look at applications coming from the EPC countries, for example, there's a much broader spread, a much more balanced palette, if you like, of technologies which are being filed from EPC countries, notably in areas like pharmaceuticals, also medical technology and things like this.
So that's the technologies. Let's have a look at the applicant rankings. Aidan,
So yeah, you've mentioned already, we have the top three slots filled by Huawei and then the two Korean giants. Of course, they're, particularly in the case of Korea, we know Korean industry is highly concentrated and structured in large conglomerates, and that's reflected fully in the top list. Beneath that, we see then the Europeans appear. So we see Siemens and Ericsson linked, I suspect, very much with the trends in digital technology that we've already mentioned. And if you go further down the list, our top 50 applicants account for something like 25% of the applications we receive.
Wow. That is a big chunk focused on a very small group. 39,000 applicants overall, and a quarter of it is coming from the first 50 of them.
And of those, I mean, something like two-thirds of the applicants are filing single applications. So that's not to say they file once and disappear forever. They file some years, not others, and so on. But if you take one particular year and look at it, you will see that something like around two-thirds of the applicants are filing single applications.
And where are these SMEs who are filing, you know, in single digits, where are they mostly coming from?
Well, they are typically located in Europe. So it's important to mention here that so we are a European patent office, so a patent office for Europe, the typical hub for companies from all over the world to enter the European market to secure patent protection in Europe. And for that reason, we have a lot of multinational companies from all over the world with massive R&D capacities that come to us. And typically file a large number of patents in a large variety of fields. And next to that, we also have smaller players like universities or SMEs. These smaller actors typically start by seeking protection in their domestic country at their national patent office. And some of them then want to commercialize internationally, and then they will file with us.
Right.
So typically universities or SMEs in Asia, in the US, or will start to patent in their national office and possibly in some cases extend to Europe. And that's a bit the same within Europe. Actually, the SMEs will first file in their national office. And then if they want to scale up, if they want to expand in the European market, they will go to us. And so the right way to look at them is probably to consider applicants filing from Europe. And there we see that these small applicants represent about 60% of all applicants based in Europe, mm-hmm. and about 25% of the applications we get from Europe. So that's a smaller number, but a very important one at the same time. Because this is a very important category of actor. They play a key role in the dynamism of the European economy, in the potential of economic growth in Europe, and they really need the European patent system to grow. So they are those that file with us are arguably those with the highest potential for growth. Because they show us that they plan to expand in Europe, and so it's important to help them secure patent protection across Europe.
Can we say that the applicants filing in small numbers, single-digit numbers, they're always SMEs?
Well, of course, that's the natural thought. It's often, but not invariably, the case. I think there's an element of nuance we have to bear in mind. Not all applicants with small numbers are small entities. We know that there are some exceptions.
In terms of encouraging, obviously, developing a new technology is very expensive business, so patenting just is another cost on top, although ideally it's also an investment in terms of what it can do to strengthen the business. But is there any more that we could be doing for SMEs in the patent system?
Yes, and we are about to do it, actually. So we know that it remains complicated for small applicants in particular to secure protection across all Europe with the current European patent system, and they often end up with validating their European patents only in a small number of countries. And that will change dramatically with the creation of the unitary patents this year or next year. That will provide all applicants, but in particular SMEs and universities, with one unitary patent with a unitary effect over most of the EU single market. And that can be a game changer for them in terms of raising funding and in terms of entering new markets with a lot of flexibility. And this coincides with the EU priority put on innovation by small entities with the EU strategy for digital transition, but also the Green Deal. And for sure, the development will be very interesting to observe in the coming years. How will all applicants, and in particular small entities like SMEs, make use of this new tool which the Unitary Patent would provide?
Thank you. But alas, I see we're running out of time. There's so many more questions I wanted to ask you both. There's so many stories hidden in our numbers and just not enough time to tell them all. Aidan, Jan, thank you so much for sharing your analysis and observations. Thanks to all of you out there as well for listening. Come and see us at epo.org and explore the Patent Index 2021 for yourselves. We're also planning another pair of related podcasts in the coming weeks about two of the most exciting technology fields in 2021, so come and check those out. But for today, from Aidan, Jan, and myself, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
Goodbye, everybody.
Subscribe to the European Patent Office's podcast channel, Talk Innovation, at epo.org or on your favorite podcast platform. Let's talk innovation.